Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We're so thankful that you've tuned in, and we trust that you'll stick with us as we kick off this next hour and a half of radio with myself and Brother Al Davis and Pastor Rusnacko. And so we hope that you'll stick around and listen through all of the broadcast. Well, I hear that opening, and I keep being reminded. It says a message straight from God's Word. And we've been doing a lot more election stuff, not necessarily straight from God's Word, but we've been reasoning from the Bible, not reasoning to it, to explain all of the events that have been going on. And so I am joined in studio. We're doing like a recap show, and Al Davis and his wife Kim are with us today. And so, guys, thanks for being with us. We're certainly thankful that you're here.
Well, thank you, Brother Lutz. I appreciate being able to be on, and I just want to let people know that at 1:30, when our program Live with Pastor Al comes on, you're going to be with us on that show. So
yeah.
So basically, we're both here for the next hour. So and then we'll send each other home.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're here, because when I asked you if we were going to do this show, you had texted me back that you would be here for a specific purpose, and that was to be therapeutic for me with everything going on in the election. So
well, I figured being out there on the left side, as I stand in Richfield and look north towards Cuyahoga County, you're out on the left side of the county out there in Lakewood. So yeah. I just thought, you know, you might be in need of some consolation and some therapy here today.
Yeah.
And just kind of come to grips with this election.
Well, it kind of goes along with the article that I read this week. It says it gets a lot harder to book a shrink in New York City after Trump's win. And, you know, we're certainly not here to gloat, and we don't want to be guilty of that. But we do rejoice. We're so thankful for what has taken place this week with the election. It's, you know, I with everything going on, we're seeing the riots and we're seeing some other things that are going on. And, you know, the difference between 8 years ago, you know, there were a lot of people. You heard about states wanting to secede from the union. You've heard about disappointment and, you know, I'm leaving the country. And you heard all these things, but you didn't have the violence involved. And now here we are 8 years later, and now many of us see a renewed opportunity, a renewed hope that some things can get straightened out, and you know, that facts are going to prevail over feelings. And I know it's hard when people get their feelings hurt, and I think what we're seeing is really a lot of people with their feelings were in the wrong place to begin with. They had been lied to, and they had been indoctrinated with error. And now the heathen are raging. And I don't mean that to be derogatory. I'm trying to use scripture to say, you know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, the kings of the earth and the rulers of this world, they set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. And it's strictly an anti-Christian sentiment. And so, you know, the thing that Christ brings is truth and facts and reality.
Right.
And sometimes reality is hard to grasp. And you know, Brother Al, I was thinking, you know, a lot of the millennials today, and certainly this is a general statement. We know not all millennials are like this. But think about it. They've never lost an election. If they're
in their
20s.
They never lost anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, you had the participation trophies and stuff.
Trophies for losing.
Exactly. And so now, but in a political sense, you know, basically since they've come on the ability to vote, for the most part, they've been able to see their candidate win. And now they're having trouble processing, how do I accept losing? How do I accept, you know, this reality that's going on? And unfortunately, you know, we're seeing a lot of destruction. We're seeing a lot of anger and hostilities. And some of it is genuine, and a lot of it is orchestrated. A lot of it is manipulated. You know, we know Soros is bussing people in. You know, I don't know how you handle this guy. I mean, you know, he reminds me so much of the Emperor from Star Wars. I mean, it's like behind the scenes, at some point you need someone like Darth Vader to come up and grab him and, you know, get him out of the picture.
Darth Vader may be there. There was a thing online last night. Putin.
Oh, yeah.
Because Soros has done some things that he's considered a threat to Russia. Putin has issued what he calls an international arrest warrant for George Soros.
Did he really?
So
wow,
I mean, if that is true, he might not want to travel to many places. I know he's not allowed in Britain because he nearly destabilized the British pound back in, I think, the 70s or something like that. And I think even France doesn't let him in. So there are a lot of places that he's not allowed. And, you know, it reminds me of Psalm 73, where the psalmist was lamenting how the rich just seemed to do so well and never have any problems. And it was almost overwhelming to him because he's trying to do right. And you know, he's struggling to get by, and I'm sure people listening can identify with that. And it just seems like the wicked just prosper and never seem to have any problems. And then it says that he was about ready to despair until he went to the house of the Lord. And then when he was there, he remembers their end. And so whether or not George Soros ever is held accountable for the things that he's doing in this life, one day, he is going to stand before God.
Right.
And if he does not trust Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, he's going to stand before the God of the universe as his judge, who's going to say, depart from me. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity.
Well, you know, some people, I've heard this about Hillary too, and I mentioned this last week. You know, there's some people that, that would advocate, there's no hope for them. You know, there's no hope for someone like Hillary. There's no hope for, but I mean, how do you answer somebody like that? I mean, you and I at least, I believe, I mean, there's hope for everyone till you,
as long as they're breathing.
As long as they're breathing, there seems
to be
an apparent hope.
And it may be, we've heard stories, you know, about somebody who reaches the point where they're just not redeemable. Maybe the Spirit of God has stopped working on their heart. And I don't know. I don't know when that point is.
Exactly,
so my advice is to pray for these people. Even let's look at Bin Laden, for instance. Now he's dead and gone many years now, but you know, he is somebody that you could have called you know, no hope. I you know, I have no thought that he got saved before he met the SEALs there in the middle of the night, but you know, he has somebody to pray for. You do see on occasion stories where somebody who the world would have given up, Christians would have given up on, and I think of Mel, what is it, Mel Trotter, I believe it was, with the city mission, the Grand Rapids City Mission. If you remember his story, he would have been put into that class of hopeless, hopeless drunk, stole the shoes off his dead daughter that he could buy more booze. And he was on his way to throw himself in the Chicago River in the dead of winter, and he went by the Pacific Garden Mission there, and they always have a guy out there, and the guy thought, you know, it's so cold, I just like went for 5 minutes, warm my hands up. He said, but no, I shouldn't, I'm supposed to be here. And that 5 minutes that he would have been gone, Mel Trotter walked by in the snowstorm and would have killed himself had that guy not been there and said, hey, come on in, warm yourself up.
Amen.
And Mel Trotter was in such a stupor, he didn't even know what was going on until he woke up, you know, and he got saved.
Isn't that great? I mean, that's the great thing to me about the Lord. I mean, there's he's the one that determines when hope is all lost.
Exactly.
You know? And so we never know that.
Yeah. So and there may be a time, but I don't know. I'm going to let God determine that. We should pray for people until.
Well, you know, it was a little disheartening, too, listening to some of the concession speeches, you know, both Tim Kaine and Hillary. You know, now they quoted scripture. Both of them quoted a part of scripture. You know, and his was definitely just taken completely out of context, which is what usually happens. But just amazing to me that, and it shouldn't be amazing to me because, you know, that's the perception persona that they wanted to give off.
Right.
But you know, it's just an incredible week and an incredible time, and we were all on pins and needles. You know, Tuesday night till early Wednesday morning, I guess it would be. And but you know, it's Rush always says, you know, elections have consequences, and in this case, we seem to have the, you know, the advantage right now to really get some things accomplished, and so it's exciting. And you know, I really like, we've talked about this off air, I really like how Donald Trump has matured.
Oh yes,
and we talked about this at lunch today. Was, you know, when Donald Trump started, we saw an arrogant individual, but by the time came around, even by the last debate and even by the second debate, you didn't see arrogance anymore. You saw confidence.
Right.
And it was, confidence is totally different than arrogance. And what did you see in the Clinton? You saw confidence. Oh, I got this in the bag, to arrogance. And what does the Bible say? Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Right.
So you watched, there was no maturity. There was an assumption. And I think this probably plays into why people are out of their mind literally right now. It's because they believed all these perceptions. This is the way it has to be. This is the way we're going. This is what's right. But the reality is society cannot function in that utopia. Go to Venezuela. Go to some of these other places where they tried to implement these. And I mean, they're ghost towns now. I mean, they're horrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, even the Soviet Union collapsed under its own, you know, financial mismanagement. It was so depleted at the end of the Soviet Union era, which for our younger listeners, that's Russia and its former Soviet state control of Ukraine and all the various satellite states. But it was considered the counterpoint to the United States in the Cold War. And, you know, it essentially, it was a third world country with a first world military. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And then when it collapsed, even their first world military was having trouble because the Soviet soldiers were selling their own uniforms and weapons and things for money just so they could have food.
Yeah. And, you know, I really think that we're certainly not out of the woods by any stretch of the nation with the economic situation. I mean, there's a reckoning day is coming. And, and I think we have to understand it's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean,
absolutely.
The difference is it's easier to go through something when you have hope, when you don't have hope. At least now we have hope. We have hope that, and again, you know, some people may be overly spiritual right now saying, our hope's in Jesus Christ. My hope's in Jesus Christ too. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he governs in the affairs of men.
Right.
But, you know, I trust men too in certain, you know, truth. We're going to see what happens now. We're going to see if he's a man of his word in those areas. But I really think it's going to get a lot worse financially and economically, either by design or it's what we have to go through in order to get to the other side. And I think, I don't know a lot about Reagan. I was still quite young when Reagan was going on. But, you know, I got to imagine when Reagan took office, a lot of those fiscal policies were on the backs of Carter's decisions.
Yeah.
So the first part of the administration, you may not see the growth, but what happened in the second part? And then you think, well, who came in next? Well, Clinton basically came in next. You had HW in between there. And he comes in on the backs of Reagan's policies, and he gets the prosperity. And so,
well, and actually, because Reagan was the first presidential election that I voted in, and that was in 1980. And
excuse me,
as I was mentioning before, I've mentioned it at church, the similarities between now and 1980 are just incredible. I remember I went to work at the larval fish laboratory at Colorado State University where I was studying at the time, and the lab director came in with his head literally hanging down, looking at his feet, shuffling along. Oh, it's terrible. It's going to be war for sure. It's the end of the United States.
Yeah.
America's done for, all because Reagan was elected. And, you know, people who remember this, remember the unemployment rate soared. Inflation was high. We had the misery index, remember things like that. And we went through a rough time in those first couple of years of the Reagan administration. But during that time, the policies and the things that he put in play began to, I think you said at one time, about if you're going to renovate a room, there's a lot of destruction and dirt and debris that has to be dealt with before you can make it what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And then as a result, these things began to kick in and the economy began to soar. We probably had one of the greatest boom times from the Reagan era through the first President Bush and the Clinton era, really. Yeah. I mean, just an incredible period of growth in the economy. People were making money left and right, and materialism got the best of us. And I think we forgot God. And I think if nothing else, these last eight plus years have reminded us that we need to turn to God. We're like the Israelites in the land. When they got fat and happy, they forgot God, and he allowed trouble to come in. You know, the Midianites or somebody would rise up, Philistines, and cause them problems, and they would turn back to God. And we saw that in this election, I believe, more than any election that I can think of where Christians really, really got involved praying and voting.
Well, and I was going to ask you, what, I mean, the amount, I mean, to me, God's hand was upon this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I know people get very uncomfortable when you start saying, oh, you're saying God raised up a man like Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump's a man. We know that. We hope he got saved. When we hear that he may have gotten saved, if he didn't, mm-hmm. we certainly pray. But those who want to do it the right way and have an authenticness about him. And, you know, I read this article this morning on theblaze.com mm-hmm. about Mike Rowe. And Mike Rowe, of course, was the director and the guy in Dirty Jobs. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he correlated his experience to how Donald Trump, why he's been elected. And the whole thing was about authenticity, how, you know, this didn't go along with Discovery because it didn't fit into the mold. It was dirty. It was in sewers and septic tanks, and it was gritty. He didn't mm-hmm. do second takes. He did it as on the fly. And he said, that's just what we were. And that identified with a group of people that the rest of the shows didn't necessarily identify with.
Right.
And it took off. I mean, it was for 8 years and, I mean, just incredible growth and those type of things. And he said, that was the difference, he believes, with the election, was there was an authentic side where people said, he gets us. Here's a billionaire who the average person like you and I say, he gets us. He understands mm-hmm. us. He's not telling us. He's not dictating to us what we need to believe and what. And if we don't, well, we're going to have to, you know, straighten you out. He's telling, I get you. I understand what you're going through. And he empathized. And I think there was an authenticity there that people, I mean, look at his rallies, Brother Al. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, people believed in it. I believed in him. And you know, he's certainly not the perfect candidate because there are no perfect candidates. But there was just an authenticity about it. I think it was really, really good. And, you know, I don't know. We probably only have about 5 minutes, maybe or so, six minutes. Yeah. So, you know, What did we see? You know, what can we look at and say, wow, that was the hand of God?
Well, I showed you a graph, and I have it linked on our Facebook page at Live with Pastor Al. And it's a graph that shows when the results were starting to be posted. And what was interesting, as you see this, Hillary was winning. People were talking about Hillary winning. And the liberal media was all they're excited and supporters in Hillary's headquarters were all excited and happy. And then that continued until a little after 7:30, and then about 8 o'clock or a little after 8, the numbers started to change.
Yeah.
And the results started to change. And if you look at this graph, Hillary's numbers start to drop. And then they start picking up steam, dropping faster and faster. Trump's numbers start to come up. And then of course he took it. And the media, their faces, they were just ashen faced. They couldn't believe what they were seeing.
They were stunned.
And the supporters in Hillary's Victory Center were just, you know, they're just crying and they just couldn't hardly believe it. But this article that I have linked, it's Signs of Divine Intervention and Trump Victory. And they point out that in Jerusalem, when this was starting to happen, when this was going on, as these polls were being posted, Christians from a number of nations began to gather in Jerusalem. It would have been about 8 o'clock Eastern time here. And they began to pray and fast for America's election. Mm. And then the number of Christians in the United States, in Washington, D.C., Texas, places all over the United States, began meeting in prayer groups, praying for United States elections.
Yeah.
And right at that point is when the numbers started changing.
Amen.
And I know God, knew what was happening with the things, and a lot of people had already voted, but, you know, that's a time frame when these numbers are being posted, that right where people could slip in fake ballots and all kinds of things, fraud can take place. And
yeah.
I know my wife and I, we were praying the day before and during the election that God would restrain the fraud, that it would be a fair election. And I really think God intervened.
Yeah.
And Christians that stayed home during the Romney campaign, stayed home during the McCain campaign, were out in numbers and voting in large numbers for Donald Trump, born-again Christians.
Yeah, that was exciting. I saw that one statistic, and you shared that other one with me about 4 out of 5. It was out 81% to 16% for evangelicals that were voting conservative and voting for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That was astounding. And, you know, that was a huge difference. And it was good to see, you know, you start trampling upon people's religious liberty the way mm-hmm. that our liberties have been trampled on, you're going to awake the sleeping giant.
And oh, I think yeah.
That's exactly what happened. And, yeah. You know, because everything else hinges off that religious liberty.
Yeah, even President Obama appealed to the evangelicals, but the Hillary camp did not at all. In fact, I read something last night where they were saying that one of her faults that they faulted her for now, looking at the what happened, the damage, and how she failed. And they said she made no outreach to the evangelical. Instead, she pushed all her outreach into the Planned Parenthood supporters and as left as an agenda as possible.
Well, I think as everything got exposed even further, you know, a lot of suspicions got confirmed. It took that cover off. And I think that's what made it more dangerous if she did win.
Yeah.
Now the cover was off. It doesn't matter now. Now we can do whatever we want because it's out in the open. We can deal with it and we can control the flow of information. We can control the consequences and we can call the winners and the losers as we want. And you continue down that road towards that absolute despotism, that road of tyranny. But it's been so exciting just to see a renewal, a revival in mm-hmm. that sense. And I go back to talk about Josiah's revival. You know, when Josiah took the throne, there were a ton of national reforms that took place.
Yes.
But it wasn't until 10 years later that they found the book of the law in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've always believed and we do. There's always a spiritual aspect of it. But the spiritual side of it, you know, here, God blesses a nation based upon truth. He wants us to worship him and adore him and to serve him. But if we do it the right way, he'll bless the nation.
Right.
And so that was exciting to see and to know. I know we're coming up here. We only got a couple minutes left. But I want to announce real quick, we have our fall revival starting this coming Sunday and over at the church house. And we have Dr. Larry Clayton coming in. He'll be there Sunday morning at 11, Sunday night at 6, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. And so we would like to invite you out. Come on out. And we've got some special music planned. I know some of the other area churches are coming around and bringing some people over. We've got some others that have promised to come and said they were coming, even some elected officials and those kind of people. So we are excited about what God is doing. We want to invite you to come on out and be a part of the services. Now, I would encourage you to be at your church on Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday, obviously, if you don't have services, you don't have revivals going on, we'd love to have you come on out and be a part of the revival services. Bring a friend along, bring an unsaved person along. I mean, you know, that's what we're there about, to get the gospel out and really get God's people fired up to do his work. I really believe, and we'll talk about this in the next half hour, I really believe that our accountability, our opportunity and our responsibility just grew exponentially.
Absolutely.
Because of what is going on. And now we have a window of opportunity here to accomplish and do more for the Lord. And I think we need to do this. So I want to invite you to come on out. All the information's coming up with the address, phone number. If you have any questions, you can give us a call. Stick with us. We'll be back with you here in the next half hour in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.